This morning we were chatting a little bit during our political panel about Canada sending some military equipment to Haiti at the request of the Haitian government. No soldiers headed that way. But that comes as Haiti also dealing with a cholera outbreak. 35 people have died in this latest outbreak. There's a number of issues happening on the ground in Haiti. Joining us to chat about that this morning is John Packer, Human Rights Research and Education Center at the University of Ottawa, Professor of International Conflict Resolution and former UN staffer. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
And I remember that you mentioned that you had visited Haiti back in September, and now we're seeing a lot of this come to the forefront now in terms of some other issues. So maybe we'll just start with the cholera outbreak that they're dealing with now. Just what is your sense of where this particular outbreak began and how the government has been handling it?
Well, the outbreak is linked to actually a kind of principal problem, which is the lack of fuel or carburants. The country is short. The port has been closed down by gangs, and therefore the systems to run clean water are disrupted. And cholera was, you may know, brought into the country during a UN, some UN blue helmets under a previous mission, and there was a huge outbreak, and I think something like 10,000 people died. So it's there, and it can spread very fast. It's not just those who have died right now. They're already up to a few hundred cases identified, and it's really rapidly increasing.
And just you mentioned just some of the issues there that are leading to this, and one of them has been the ports that have been blocked by armed gangs. Just in terms of the government here and what they're trying to get a handle on, why are we seeing some of the, I guess, public reaction that we're seeing? Why are these gangs blocking these ports?
Well, the gangs have a very specific and very clear demand, which is they want the prime minister to resign. The prime minister, as you may know, is actually in power as a residual effect of the assassination of the former president a year ago. And so this is supposed to be an interim government waiting for elections. But basically, the government is dysfunctional. I mean, many institutions in the state are not functioning. I mean, directly linked to the cholera outbreak is that hospital clinics, water systems in public institutions are not functioning.
And so all of this is obviously coming back onto the government to deal with on that front. There have been protests on that front. How has the government been dealing with these protests?
Well, first of all, Haiti doesn't have an armed forces. It has a national kind of police service. And for various reasons, you know, linked to also previous dictatorships and so forth, a lot of people think it's a good thing that it doesn't have a kind of armed forces that can be very repressive. So it has a weak security regime, and it is itself under-supported, doesn't have resources. That's why Canada and the U.S. have sent armored cars, armored vehicles. I mean, they're not sending arms. They're just sending vehicles which defend against attacks from others. But the government doesn't have the means, very frankly. I mean, the gangs are very well-equipped and are stronger, and that's the problem.
Now, when we talk about the humanitarian situation, that sets us up perfectly for what's happening here. So just in a sense of, you know, we're seeing the cholera outbreak, as we were talking about, in Port-au-Prince. We're seeing a whole lot of government consternation, wanting the prime minister to resign as well. At what point do you think that we do see more action from the UN? We see Canada sending military aid, like you said. I guess at what point do we see more of a global response here?
Well, first of all, the prime minister has requested, the government has requested much more than armed vehicles. They've asked for an armed intervention in their support in order to get the gangs moved. The gangs have blocked the access routes. They've put huge containers. They've dug kind of a moat, broken up the road. So, you know, there's huge issues here. And then you got to get any kind of carburant or anything like that distributed. And now you need the medical and health goods distributed. The gangs have disrupted and looted World Food Program, World Health offices, and so forth. So there's going to be, I think, a vote on Monday of the Security Council. The Secretary General has proposed something. But at the same time, Haiti and the international community are afraid of repeating for example, a Blue Helmets operation, which, you know, has other implications.
Yeah, that first cholera outbreak and a whole other thing, or all kinds of other things associated with that. But just on that UN piece, Secretary General Antonio Guterres, like you said, calling kind of for an international force to assist in tackling these gangs. Just, you know, with the issues we're seeing right now with NATO in the Ukraine and Russia, just how likely do you see that the international community will, you know, jump to aid here, given, you know, issues in other parts of the world?
Well, that's a huge problem. There is really a lack of appetite. You know, those who were involved before, including Canada, the U.S., Brazil, basically they got black eyes. You know, I mean, they things did not go well, and there are a lot of reasons and explanations for that. But with everything else going on in the world, you know, a lot of hesitation to kind of stick your finger in that again. And a lot of Haitians are against it, including the Haitian government. While the Haitian government is arguing for an armed force, a security force to come in, they don't want specifically a peacekeeping, a Blue Helmets force. So they're asking for something that doesn't really exist yet. And that means the UN's going to have to compose something. And as you know, the UN doesn't have a standing force. They have to then ask governments to contribute. And you know, which government's going to do it? The U.S. in particular, don't forget, with midterm election coming and so forth, I don't think Biden, the White House and others exactly want to, you know, have on television U.S. Military personnel going into a Caribbean state.
It's a very good point to point out the domestic kind of political aspects at play here. I mentioned off the top, John, that you had just returned from Haiti as well. Just from your firsthand perspective, just what were you seeing on the ground there in terms of the current situation?
It was rapidly deteriorating by mid-September. I mean, this goes back a long time, but but the basic, immediate catalyst to this was the prime minister announced a removal of deep subsidies on fuel, basically, and that those deep subsidies are necessary for the local people, but they're actually a huge boon to big companies and to, frankly, criminal gangs that then resell it abroad and just make money. So, I mean, it was kind of a necessary thing to do, but maybe not so abruptly. But in any event, it gave rise to this huge reaction and popular reaction on the streets and with these gangs, and it's only gotten worse and worse, and there's been very little business transaction, there's been very little, I mean, we're talking about an extremely poor country, right? The poorest by far in the hemisphere, 50% illiterate, a lot of people living on a couple dollars a day, that kind of thing. So, you know, with a dysfunctional government. So the situation is really now at a point of verging on kind of collapse, and that has huge implications for the region, all the migrants and everything else.
And I guess with a power vacuum, just as a side note, just, you know, if the government does collapse, that does become a bit of a vacuum. Is there a concern in the international community, you know, places like, you know, China and Russia could kind of intercept that power vacuum?
Well, there certainly, I mean, China on the Security Council has been very vocal on this and has been pointing out that this is in the kind of backyard of the USA and in our hemisphere, which is true, of course. I think there are really big concerns in the Caribbean with migration affecting other neighboring states and so forth. CARICOM is concerned. There's huge division inside Haiti and even amongst the 2 million-plus diaspora, including Canada. On the one hand, there's a consensus that Haiti itself needs to solve this. But on the other hand, a kind of observation that Haiti itself is not going to solve this. I mean, there are so many dimensions to this, including transnational crime and so forth. So it's looking really bad, and it's a kind of case where I do think the international community needs to pull up. I mean, the good thing is it is a poor and weak country. This should be a case where collective action could really be effective, and then really it's a political question. The country has to come together in its own self-interest.
And just kind of bringing it back home as well, you know, we are sending some military equipment. You mentioned armored vehicles on that front. But, you know, traditionally, the Canadian military has served in these humanitarian roles and what have you. General Wayne Ayer saying this week, you know, we're dealing with a personnel crisis, and that's likely going to hinder our ability to you know, respond to issues like this overseas and things like that. Just, you know, does the Canadian military, I guess, have the bandwidth to deal with the number of international issues right now and also deal with the humanitarian crisis in Haiti, just in your own estimation?
I really don't know kind of technically their capacities at the moment. What I would say is clearly they are stretched. You know, we have 1,000 troops in Latvia. for example, you know, what they're doing in Latvia is that's not a humanitarian action, but it removes our kind of forward capacity for humanitarian action, which we're really good at. You know, Canada is noted for, and you know, was, of course, Pearson inventing the blue helmets and all the rest of it. So it is really troubling if we're not really that able to deploy in our own hemisphere in such a crisis situation. I think it does speak to the need to strengthen Canadian defense beyond, you know, war fighting, which we're involved in now increasingly, I would say, unfortunately, in a few places, so that we can really deliver these kind of essential contributions.
Yeah, something to think about on top of a whole bunch of things to think about. But John, thank you so much for your time this morning. I very much appreciate it. Stay well.
You're welcome. You too. Take care.
John Packer, Human Rights Research and Education Center at the University of Ottawa, former UN staffer, back from Haiti in September. Always great to get his perspective on this. But the issue in Haiti obviously coming to a forefront this weekend as we're hearing 35 people dead, the latest cholera outbreak. There are now armored gangs blocking ports, calling on the prime minister to resign. On the brink of chaos, as Packer describes it, or on the brink of collapse. We'll continue to watch that. Canada is sending military aid. That was reported on Friday by CTV News. We are sending an armored vehicle by air. No troops headed there at this point, but something to continue to watch.